Our Bibles are open this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1. While you're turning there, the prophet Isaiah, and no doubt is known as the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, he's often been called the Paul of the Old Testament. When we think about the New Testament, certainly we think about the Gospels, but when we think about the Apostle Paul and most of the New Testament written by him, we think about Isaiah here and realize that Isaiah's name actually means the salvation of Jehovah. As we read this book, we find that salvation is the key word throughout this book as well as the great message. When you think about the Bible and the prophetic words that are in the Bible, this is probably the most prophetic book in all the Bible. The word salvation appears 28 times in the book, compared to only 7 times in all the other prophecies combined. The book of Isaiah, if you'll write this thought down, is often known as a miniature Bible. The book of Isaiah contains 66 chapters, representing the 66 books of the Bible. The first 39 chapters reveal the judgment of sin, and then pointing to the hope, and the second section of 27 chapters point to the hope of the coming Messiah. It's interesting as you think about this. The theme in 27 books of the New Testament, probably the most familiar passage of Scripture here in the Old Testament would be Isaiah 53. Oftentimes we read that passage of Scripture. But let's read just this one verse today, if we can, in verse number 18. Notice what the Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be of scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Here in this passage of Scripture, we find that he's talked much about salvation in chapter 53, as we just stated. But when you come to this text, you realize that in the preceding verses of chapter 1, we see the description of Israel's rebellion. The interesting part about Israel and their rebellion, or may I say the disgusting part, is that they were God's people. They were a religious people. They feared God, but they were very religious, but they were also rebellious. That's what we find as you read this passage. As you read Isaiah's prophecy, we're reminded of the northern kingdom that had already fallen to the Assyrians, and now the southern kingdom was feeling the threat. Isaiah told Judah that even though they would escape the Assyrians, Jerusalem would be overthrown by Babylon and would not be risen to power ever again. The charges here have been made against God's chosen people. And Judah is under the condemnation of sin. And with the judgment still pending, we find that Isaiah pens this passage of Scripture. And he says clearly, "Come now, let us reason together." It's time to consider what God is doing in their life. They were facing the judgment of God. Pending judgment was imminent. But God, again, steps in with this text verse. And he says, "I want you to come." And he says, "Come now, let us reason together." When we think about reasoning together, what does he mean? He's given a proposal here. "Come now, let us reason together." Through the prophet Isaiah, we find that God speaks to the children of Israel. He says again, "Don't go to court with me. Do not force me to sentence you and to render again judgment upon you." He says, "Reason together, that think about what you're doing. Think about what God has done in your own life. Think about what God is yet to do as we follow Him. Think about where you are now." I want you to think with me this morning in this very thought, "Come now, let us reason together." No doubt there are people in this room that have been saved for a number of years. And you look back over your life and you see how God has blessed you in so many ways. And yet, we find ourselves, as we grow in the Lord and grow older in the Lord, many times that we let down on some things in our own life. If you're not careful, we'll find ourselves just taking it for granted, God's wonderful, marvelous grace. I'm confident a crowd of this size, plus those who are listening by the way of live stream and radio, that there are people under the sound of my voice who know Christ as their Savior. They have been born again, but they have drifted away from the Lord. And God says, come now, let us reason together. Let us think this through. Let us be reminded as to where He's brought us from. Let us be reminded of what He yet wants to do in our life. And no doubt the many people that would listen by the way of radio or live stream that do not know Christ as their Savior. And the Lord says again, come now, let us reason together. This word reason means to think in a logical or sensible way. Be logical about it. God had every right to punish His people because of their sins. And may I say, God has every right to punish us and to chasten us. But because of His mercy and because of His grace, God spares here, and He says, come now, let us reason together. He's offering them pardon. He's offering them appeasement. God says, let's settle this matter out of court. Let's not go before the judge. He sees here again, may we see the mercy and the righteous God that wants us to follow Him. Come now, let us reason together. Truthfully, this statement, this sentence here is justified. If you read the preceding chapters, you find and understand that these people had gone so far away from God. They were guilty of robbery. They were guilty of bribery. They were guilty of exploiting others, the helpless. They were guilty of idolatry, serving other gods. But instead of pronouncing judgment upon them, God says, I want to offer you pardon. Come now, let us reason together. May I ask you to do something this morning? In this hour, that you would be reminded what God has done in your life. That He saved you from a life of sin. He spared you from much in this life. And by His wonderful, marvelous grace, He's given you this, not only this wonderful gift of salvation, but may I say this abundant life. God has blessed all of us in so many ways. And yet oftentimes we just take it for granted. We just get to the place where we expect it. But may I say, one day God's going to judge. And the Scripture reminds us, and be sure your sins will find you out. As a Christian, may we draw closer to the Lord. And for those who may not know Christ as their Savior, may this be the hour that you say yes to Him. May this be the hour that you settle the sin question as to whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We find in the book of Acts, chapter 24, when you think about this reasoning, that after certain days, it says in verse 24 of Acts 24, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And the Bible says, and as he reasoned, Acts 24, 24, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Paul, again, is presenting to him the gospel. And as he reasoned, the Bible says that Felix trembled. And he answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And no doubt, Felix had hoped that money would be given to him and that he would be able to persuade him to tone it down. And no doubt the convicting words of the Apostle Paul as the Holy Spirit was dealing with this man. But he says, go thy way. Give me another convenient time, some other time. And may I say, through the prophet, God here extends His mercy. He's imploring His people to consider. He's imploring His people to consider again their circumstance and the appeal. Keep in mind that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. The Bible says, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And may I say today, the invitation we find in this passage of Scripture, just underscore, double underscore, if I may say, the word come. Notice it, come. 3,000 times in the Word of God, you'll find this little word, come. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord says, come in this passage of Scripture. Come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be of scarlet. Would you write this thought down? This is the problem. Though your sins be of scarlet. Every person in this room is guilty of being a sinner. You know why? Not because of the deeds that you have done that are bad, but because we were born sinners. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, meaning we missed the mark. You're not a sinner by the things that you do. You're a sinner because you were born a sinner. You see, Jesus certainly, and God, if God could create man, and He did, He took from the dust of the ground on the sixth day. After creating the birds of the air and the fowl of the air, I should say, and the fish in the sea, after God created every animal that walks upon planet Earth, then the Bible says that He took from the dust of the earth and He molded man in His own image. And the Bible says that He breathed in the man's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. I'm glad the Lord didn't stop there. Because He looked around and He saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And all God's men said, hey, oh, it ought to be a little better than that. Next Sunday is Family Sunday. And last Sunday was Married Sunday. Let's go, men. And God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And He created Eve. He created a woman, a helpmeet. And all God's men said, that sounds a little better. But some of you ladies need to work on your husbands, all right? But God created male and female. He put them in the garden. When we think about all that has taken place, Adam and Eve were given this free will to make a choice in their life. God told them not to eat of this forbidden fruit, and yet they gave in. They looked at it, and of course, many times people want to blame Eve, just like Adam said, it's this woman you gave me. But the truth of it is, He gave the command to eat to Adam. He gave the command to Adam. Adam was responsible. But because of Adam's disobedience, because of Adam's sin, the Bible says that many were made sinners. God gives us a choice. Are we going to trust Him by faith? Are we going to continue to follow Him? Are we going to continue to grow in Him and be used by Him to be the servant that He desires us to be? We have a choice in the matter. And yet He says, come now, let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together. The problem here is that they were a sinner. Your sins are scarlet, He says. They were helpless and hopeless, serving their heathen gods. As you read this passage of Scripture in Isaiah, he says, your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Some would say, well, why doesn't he say that your sins be black as coal, black as dirt? Yeah, he says, though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet representing not just a scarlet robe, but representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That His blood is on us. You see, we're guilty. We're the ones. He died for you. He died for me. He died in my place. When you think about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross, He did that for me. He did that for you so that we would not have to die and go to a devil's hell, to a place of eternal damnation. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He shed His innocent blood on Calvary's cross. If you're in this room today or listening by the way of radio and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you must admit that you are a sinner. And the Bible reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good fellow. I'm a pretty good lady. I've kept the commandments the best I could. I try to be a good person. But the Bible reminds us in Romans 3:10 that there's none righteous. No, not one. That we're all guilty before Almighty God. But Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man's sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Notice in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It doesn't matter how good we may think we are. And Jeremiah reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He even asks the question, who can know it? The problem here we see clearly. Thus he says, let us reason together. Let us reason with God. What does that mean? That means there needs to come a time that all of us understand what God is saying. It doesn't mean that I talk my way out of it. It doesn't mean that I try to convince Him that I'm okay. But He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. To reason with God and to admit that we are lost. Many are like a drowning man. Drowning man in the waters, but would yet not cry out for help. And may I say, oftentimes when people are drowning, they get in such a panic, and they'll not listen to reasoning. Are you with me? They'll not listen to reasoning. If they would just wait, if they would just calm down, even people trying to save them, stories have been told, and we read about it over and over again, how they're trying to save them, but they became such a panic, in a panic mode, that they were fighting the very person that was trying to save them. And the Lord says, come now, let us reason together. Let's think this thing through. The problem here is that they were lost, and He makes a proposal. How does He make this proposal? But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us enough that He went to Calvary's cross in my place. I want you to notice this interesting text. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be of scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You see not just the problem here, the proposal that He makes through His love, but we see the provision. They shall be white as snow. You know what God says? God says, I love you in spite of you. Have you ever, as a parent, just wanted to choke your children sometime? How many parents would say you'd like to choke them sometime? Yeah. But I'm glad that God helps us through that, right? I know my parents wanted to choke me at times. There's no question. And sometimes they did choke me. As she was singing a little while ago, I thought, when I was a kid, you know, all of us would sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And I remember telling my Sunday school teacher in Alabama, when Daddy pastored there, that I told the Sunday school teacher that I had a song that I wanted to sing that morning. And I wanted to sing it in Sunday school. She said, I think you ought to sing it in church. I said, okay. She said, does your mommy and daddy know? I said, no. And so whenever she told my daddy that he was the pastor, told him that I was going to sing, Daddy was surprised. They were all surprised that Roger at 5 years old was going to sing. So he brought me up front to let me sing. This is the late 50s now. And I began to sing. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Just a cracking all the time. You ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. I got half of that out. My daddy was surprised. And there's no doubt about it. But I wasn't surprised what happened at the end. But at any rate. But you know what? It was a lesson that I learned, no question, from a young age. Never will forget it, about the chastening hand of my daddy. But dad tried to reason with me, no question. And the Lord says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I'm glad that when we come to the understanding and acknowledge that I can't clean my act up. I can't get good enough for heaven. I realize that my righteousness is as filthy rags. I realize that I deserve hell. I realize that if it were not for the grace of God, that I could be in hell this very moment. But I'm glad that there was a time in my life I came to the realization, understood the reasoning, and thought about where I'd spend eternity. And as a young boy, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and He saved me, and He saved me forever. Amen. You say, well, you're a little excited about it. I am excited about it because I recognize I'm nothing but a hell-deserving sinner, and Jesus Christ died for me as much as He did each of you. Thank God for salvation. The provision that He made, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, He loves us enough. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can a holy and a righteous God love me? Nothing more than a filthy sinner. How can God love me? I want you to know, because He's God. And I'm glad He is God. For God so loved me with an unconditional love. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, He reminds us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible reminds us, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. The warning signs are everywhere. God has made provision. The problem is that all have sinned. And we all deserve hell. The proposal is before us. And that proposal is, accept Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I want you to know, the Lord says, I want you to listen. I want you to reason this out. You may be in this room today and you've trusted Christ, but you've drifted away from the Lord. The devil is defeating you. He has you again down some road and you think again, I can handle this. I can handle this. I want you to know, I'm going to tell you from my own experience, you cannot handle it. I cannot live this Christian life. I cannot live it. I admit I cannot live it. But Christ lives in me. As we yield ourselves to Him, Paul writes, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That says clearly, Christ lives in us, and Christ lives through us as we yield ourselves to Him. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, or saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We see the provision. We see the proposal. I give you this lastly, and we see the promise. He said, they shall be as wool. He says, I offer you my son. Salvation through my son. The sin, stain, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ took all of my sins. He cast my sins as far as the east is from the west to be remembered against us no more. May I say, He says, and you shall be as wool. That's the promise that we have. A sinner, what does a sinner deserve? A sinner deserves hell. All have sinned. And we all deserve hell. It's by the grace of God I am what I am, the Apostle Paul said. And Paul loved us enough. God loved us enough that he saved a man like Paul who persecuted the church, wiping out the church and tried to stop Christianity. If God can do that for the Apostle Paul, God can save anyone. And I've run into people who say, oh, you don't know all that I've done. Oh, look, God's not willing that any should perish. And God's mercy endureth forever. God can save you. God can save you. If you're listening today and you do not know Christ, let me encourage you, let me invite you, let me urge you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you remember back at Calvary, before Christ went to the cross, that a choice was made? And every day we make choices in our life. Will you receive Christ or will you reject him? Pilate was willing to release Jesus, wasn't he? And he said, I can release one. And who did they choose? Barabbas. Let Barabbas go free. Let that man claiming to be God, let him die. It seems so cruel. I can't believe the choice they made. But understand this, that was all in God's providence. God allowed Christ to come to that place, that a choice would be made. And may I say, God's not going to force himself on anyone. And you must make the choice. You must make the choice for salvation, and you must make the choice for surrender. You must make the choice for sanctification. You must make your choice to serve the Lord. God's not going to make you. But listen to the words. Come now, let us reason together. When the appeal is made, when God begins to implore, when we look back as to where he's brought us from and all that he's done for us, I want you to know I owe him my life. I owe him my life. We all owe him our life. And sometime when you say, we need folks to give to missions as we begin next month, when we say we need folks to go out and knock doors as we place an emphasis all next month, is it too much to ask? Is it too much to surrender all to the Lord? Oh, I realize he's speaking here to the nation. They have a choice. Come now, let us reason together. But may those words ring in our own ears. And let us reason this out. Let's weigh this out. And understand that all that we have in this life is going to perish. And the only thing that we have that is going to be forever throughout all of eternity is our soul. And we're going to be able to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, whether we go by the way of the grave or the Lord Jesus comes and splits the eastern sky and says, come up hither, I'm looking forward to that day. But either way, I'm going to stand before the Lord. And I desire to hear him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. May we keep in mind the Lord's left us here for a purpose. God has saved us. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. To the Jews, which shall I release to you? And they said, release unto us Barabbas and crucify that man that says he is the Christ. Crucify him. They had a choice to make. And so here, as the Lord implores, come now and let us reason together.